I'm not surprised at all that all these millionaires are packing up and leaving. I mean, at least the good news in this is that they have a warning. They see what's coming.
With each bit of hash rate that comes onto the network, it's more and more secure. It's harder to co-op. Presumably, some of this is, you know, it's more decentralized. It's not all one, you know, miner adding this hash rate.
Now that Bitcoin has been around for so many years and it's so embedded in people's brains, there will be a lot less people just forgetting about it and losing their seed phrase in the trash.
What law, like what judicial system do you live under? And this is like thug-style mafia. This is what the fiat system is. And now you're starting to see it. Like the spotlight couldn't be any brighter.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, Tony is here and we've got Ben Werman back. Gents, let's jump right in here. So up first, Europe continues to shoot itself in the foot. So in the UK, they are losing 16,500 millionaires this year because primarily capital gains tax hikes up 20 to 80% over prior rates have backfired. So this Kyle Bass says, Europe, take note, you can't tax your way to prosperity. You can only chase it away. Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first because one of the things we have so much interest in right now are Plan B residencies. My sense, and you have probably a better sense as to who these people are that are coming to us, but it's a lot of people in Europe, in the UK, in Australia, like a lot of the places we've been reporting on, just making terrible decisions. I'd be curious to hear your reaction to this and tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, man, there's a big exodus from some of these horrific countries that are trying to literally, you know, vacuum clean everybody's savings account. I mean, they literally think that they have a green light to take as much as they want from you. And they assume that people are dumb enough to just let them. This happened in Norway several years ago. And like all the millionaires and billionaires of that country left on a one-way ticket. Like even if they were to reform the country now, they're never going to set foot back into that country. That's it. Like once you pass the point of no return, it's very hard to regain that trust. And I think the UK is headed down that same, in the same direction. I'm not surprised at all that all these millionaires are packing up and leaving. I mean, at least the good news in this is that they have a warning. They see what's coming and, you know, they're able to, you know, put their affairs in order and leave. In some countries, like myself, you know, you were just rug pulled overnight. You had no choice to do anything. So yes, it sucks, but at least you've got like a little bit of a runway that you can, you know, go on to save yourself. And if you're stuck in a country like this, a plan B is no longer an option, really. Like you have to leave. Otherwise, they are just going to come in and, you know, steal whatever they want from you. Or, you know, at some point, if they can't steal, they'll just shut you out entirely and then it's game over. So Plan B residencies, there are many options, like many options. Yes, it may suck initially to think that, oh, you have to, you know, pack up and leave because of all this. But what are you going to do? It's like, you know, if you stay, you die. And, you know, if you move, yes, it's uncomfortable, maybe at least in the short run, maybe not. Like, I mean, a lot of folks that have onboarded to Plan Bs, you know, initially had this hesitation, but then as soon as they landed, they were like, whoa, you know, like this is not bad. This is not bad at all. We should have done this like 5 years ago. So like, don't be surprised that you'd actually like the move, but you know, very few people like change, but you know, circumstances, you know, sometimes they mandate that you either make these big decisions or you sink. If you're in the UK, Plan B, if you can afford it, is definitely, definitely highly recommended.
So I think the takeaway here is that what we call Plan A should probably be, or Plan B should probably be Plan A for a lot of people. So Ben, I got a different sort of question for you about this. It seems to me like the UK in particular is just shooting themselves in the foot. And as our resident conspiracy theorist, it almost feels intentional. Like it almost feels contrived. Why would they be? My question though is, if there is some sort of conspiracy here, why are they doing this? What's the aim?
Yeah, I mean, they are just under the most heavy-handed control by those who cannot be named. And there's a full-on replacement effort going on right now. And we see the Online Safety Act, their thing that they're pushing through that's going to completely ban any mean words towards certain people. and it's just going full crazy mode over there. And it's hard not to blackpill on it because it's just so far gone at this point. And I've just been following along the freedom fighters on the inside, just trying to support them in any way I can, because I always want to believe that there's a way that these people can turn this around and fight back and fix it. But like you guys are talking about, I wouldn't, if I had a close friend there, I wouldn't hang my life on that. Of just, like, you need to stay and fight to the death because it's getting so bad. So I think that it's a tough one to watch, tough pill to swallow that things are so dark over there. But I think you guys are smart, really just pushing that message of like, make sure you have a backup plan. I would agree with that for people that are there.
Absolutely. Alrighty, some better news. So just in, $22 billion Uber competitor Grab now accepts Bitcoin in the Philippines. They have over 41 million users. We've talked a lot about the medium of exchange use case and how important that is. And it is, you know, we talked about Square now turning on Bitcoin payments for their first retailers that use their technology. So a lot of big news coming out in this. And this for me is really important. Now, I'll be curious how quickly people begin paying in Bitcoin. Like, obviously I would pay in Bitcoin if I was in the Philippines and were to use Grab. I'll be interested to see if there's any data that comes out, you know, a month, 6 months, a year from now on how much is this being utilized. But it's important that the optionality exists. Tony, you and I have talked about this a lot on Banter, offline. What do you think the significance of this move is?
This is extremely bullish because now it's going to force the world to start thinking about Bitcoin as money, which is exactly what it is, a medium of exchange. And the fact that, you know, big companies like this are going to integrate it into their apps, that means it's going to be as easy as making an in-app purchase, you know, like on an iPhone or a Google phone, you know, when you're buying something either for a game or whatever it is, it's going to be like a one-tap thing. But now people are going to be thinking as Bitcoin as actual money and not like this investment that you have to buy and wait for it to go up. This is extremely good news because this is how you infiltrate Normieville, right? By making it, you know, part of their life without them even noticing. So the more companies, you know, start implementing these things, and I expect a lot more to do so, that's how you're going to get, you know, hyper-Bitcoinization, because it's just going to be everywhere. Everywhere you look, you're going to see that Bitcoin logo. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. And that usually doesn't take too long before, you know, everybody starts thinking about, you know, Bitcoin as money. Like, I don't have dollars. I don't have euros. Oh, but hold on. I have Bitcoin. Let me use that. It's accepted. Cool. And now it no longer becomes this big deal anymore. It just becomes like normal. And that's exactly what you want it to be, because that's when you start getting like massive global adoption. Medium of exchange. The only way Bitcoin remains decentralized and secure is if more people use it as money. And these are extremely bullish signs pushing it in that direction. So very, very happy about that.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point about sort of the psychological impact of this thing. Like, I think, I can't remember if it was on Banter, if you and I were talking about it, but you begin seeing cash, credit, Bitcoin. And now suddenly people internalize, oh, like, I guess I could spend Bitcoin. Like, it's not like a NASDAQ stock, which I think is the sort of conventional wisdom, you know, in TradFi. I'd be curious, do you guys think that this, I'm skeptical in the short term, but do either of you think that this puts material pressure on competitors to start accepting Bitcoin?
I was actually going to bring up the competitor side of things. That's the thing I wanted to mention, because one of the things that I've learned while doing a lot of traveling is that pretty much everywhere I go, there's a similar sort of service that's just a smaller, more localized company. For example, in Colombia, they love Rappi. In Mexico, they had Didi. And here in Europe, in Czech Republic, maybe others, they use Bolt. And these are all these rideshare / food delivery services that are popping up as these competitors to the big dogs, Uber and Lyft. And I think that they have a huge opportunity to try things like this out, because they have much more maneuverability and ability to just implement these new things and try them out. And it will just prove to be such a huge boon to their business, because obviously we see that the power that Bitcoiners have to really push these things forward is huge. And this will bring on a lot more normies, like you said, as well, because it's a perfect example of a quick transaction and it's really easy for them to do and for them to see how well it works. So I'm excited to see hopefully more places do this. I'm not sure how big that Grab company is compared to these other ones I mentioned by users, but I mean, 11 million, that's a lot. So that's going to move some, it's going to change some minds out there and open some brains.
Yeah, I think this is why I go back to like one of the points I made when we were in Prague was that, you know, I went to my raw goat milk farmer and asked if I could pay in Bitcoin. And she's not like a hardcore Bitcoiner or anything like that. She said yes. So, you know, let's say I'm buying, you know, milk with Bitcoin. And a year from now, she has, you know, a few hundred thousand sats or whatever, right? And she goes to, you know, the store and now Square is accepting in Bitcoin or, you know, or they're accepting Bitcoin through Square, rather. She might take out her phone and say, oh, that's like, I actually have some of this stuff, you know, like even though I don't know much about it. And now she's going to spend like keep a little bit of it, spend some of what she has. And now that store owner maybe just made their first Bitcoin sale or whatever. And so I think that's the importance of just getting a bit into lots of people's hands. And it's going to disperse its way through the economy. It doesn't have to be everyone's the hardcore toxic Bitcoin maxi today like we are. But over time, it's just going to, it'll be ubiquitous. It's in the quicker we can pull that future into the present, the better. That's sort of my...
And there's another big advantage to companies who adopt this. Like this is like a first mover, you know, game changer for any company that starts adopting, you know, Bitcoin as payment. You know, you'll kill the competition because now like you're the first kid on the block, you know, innovating. So you'd be seen as that, you know, nice player who's pushing forward with, you know, the latest and greatest that's out there. And so competitors that were lagging behind, you know, if they adopt Bitcoin first, well, then you've just been like thrust into the first place position, so to speak, you know, because I mean, Bitcoin is going to take over the world. That is the future of money. And so the sooner you adopt it, the sooner, you know, you become one of these OGs, so to speak, businesses that are known for accepting it since, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And just to build off what you said too, Michael, how you're talking about how the grassroots level is always going to be what's going to get more people into, more people talking about from both the individual, retail, and business level. And we all heard those stories from the way old days when people got some Bitcoin for the Silk Road or whatever, and they didn't hold on to it because they didn't understand it would have a lot of value in the future. But now that Bitcoin has been around for so many years and it's so embedded in people's brains, there will be a lot less people just forgetting about it and losing their seed phrase in the trash because that's just more embedded in the subconscious of the zeitgeist right now, that this thing has been around for a while, it has staying power. So if you have some, you want to hold on to it. So I think there's a lot more benefit to just orange pilling those smaller folks now. They're going to hang on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would add that a lot of people don't realize if you're not intimately involved in Bitcoin, that Bitcoiners get on board with companies who adopt Bitcoin. Like look at Stake and Shake. I mean, that was all the buzz for like several weeks, right? And like people are going to Stake and Shake who probably haven't, I hadn't been to a Stake and Shake in years. And I went out of my way to take my family to Stake and Shake just so we could pay in Bitcoin.
Yeah, my little road trip group went in Las Vegas after our road trip there post-conference.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, hold on. Let me add a little thing for all those out there that are probably thinking, but I don't want to spend my Bitcoin because I'm not going to be rich if I lose it. Let me tell you something. If Bitcoin's not used as money, you have no value in your Bitcoin. So if you're going to spend it because and then replace it by, you know, that fiat garbage. So your stack remains the same. And over time, you're going to be spending less of that Bitcoin because, you know, only then will its value continue to increase. So your stack is not getting any lower. So don't be afraid to spend it because, like I said, as money is the only way Bitcoin has value. And it's actually much cheaper for a business to operate on a Bitcoin standard. Like imagine like the fees and expenses that you throw out just by doing direct peer-to-peer payments. It's absolutely like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I can't wait to have all the comments. But what about capital gains taxes? Alrighty, we know. Okay. Up next, guys, we've got Bitcoin hash rate hits 1 zeta hash per second. So a new all-time high. I told you guys offline, what's really cool about this is, you know, we've been up, Bitcoin's up in fiat terms the last several weeks, last couple months, but it's not like it's through the roof, right? We're not at $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 levels. And yet more hash rate continues to come online. Obviously, we're going to talk about like solo mining here in just a minute. We love that. But that's not how you get lots and lots of new hash rate. I mean, these are, you know, institutional scale miners coming online predominantly. Ben, what's the signal here? This is, crazy times.
The price is never a big interest for me, to be honest. I never check the price. I don't care. I kind of just let the people that I follow mention it if it's getting crazy enough. But yeah, I don't think we've hit the S curve yet. That's what I care about. When it starts just getting massive candles every single day over and over and over again, that's when things are really interesting and when things start to really change societally. And I think we see just massive things start to break and it gets both scary and exciting. But I mean, I'll always, for now, I'm still sticking. The plan that I have is I'm just going to think of 1,000 sats to $1 until we get to 2 million sats or to 200,000. And then I'll just move up to thinking of a 2,000 sats. The head games.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely.
Price is never really huge on my radar. Short answer.
Yeah. I think I like that. You know, with each bit of hash rate that comes onto the network, it's more and more secure. It's harder to co-op. Presumably, some of this is, you know, it's more decentralized. It's not all one, you know, miner adding this hash rate. Tony, this is great news. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is the, in my opinion, the most important metric to look at. Like, if you want to get all excited and bullish on Bitcoin, forget the price. Look at the hash rate. And this is like, you know, off the chart numbers, and I expect that to keep going because it's not anywhere near to slowing down. And the more, you know what, you mentioned solo mining, even though, you know, like they're very small in numbers now, but you know what, there's 8 billion people out there. And if you can get a large enough percentage of, you know, folks to adopt solo mining and actually do it right, like sort of solo mine via their own Bitcoin nodes, you know, creating their own templates and all that, you know, volume has power. So, you know, give it enough time and enough people doing this, you could very well offset the centralization of the miners by, you know, having it more decentralized that way. At least, you know, that's what I'm hoping for. And that's what we're pushing here at the Bitcoin Way, is for everybody to start, you know, getting a solo miner, setting it up, configuring it. It's not that hard. I mean, of course, we assist with that process, but once it's up and running, there's nothing for you to do other than, you know, get all excited every 10 minutes to see if your device hit a block and you just, you know, receive 3.125 Bitcoin into your wallet.
Yeah, it's a great learning experience. And yeah, just one more small way that we can all add to the strength and security of the network.
I just realized that I was talking about the wrong story to talk about the price there. Solo mining rocks. We love solo mining.
Well, hey, no, you're good. Well, you started talking about hash rate and that's more exciting. So we're actually, you know what? I'm going to skip us forward to because this is cool and more related. We're going to talk first about a solo miner successfully mining a block, earning that Bitcoin worth about $372,000. Obviously, we don't care about the price, but. I can't even think how many times have we talked about this on Banter, Tony, this year. I mean, it's been many times. Like, you have to understand, if you're listening, you understand what that means. You're playing the lottery. Now, you get to play it every 10 minutes, and it's very low-cost electricity. You know, it's drawing very little electricity to run these, you know, like a BitAx or something like that. But your odds of hitting a block are incredibly low. It's more for the learning experience and the hopes that maybe, and here we are talking about this again. So, I'll let you take this one, Ben, because you are excited about solo mining, I know. Tell people what you think the takeaway here is.
Yeah, I just think that the optics are great because people coming into it should be properly educated and know how rare it will be for this to actually work. And you shouldn't make a big financial bet, throw your life savings onto a bunch of BitAx and trying to get a block. But just the fact that it keeps happening, and like you said, we keep thinking this is going to be like the craziest story ever, and it just keeps happening. So I love it. Yeah. And it's just going to encourage more people to do that, you know? And I want to do it myself more than ever because I keep seeing these stories. It's very exciting, and it's going to be good for the network because it's also going to give more ammunition to the folks on Noster and Twitter who are talking about knots and all this good decentralization efforts for Bitcoin. And it'll just show them, hey, look, this is working for people. Like, people are getting huge rewards off of this. So why not give it a shot yourself and be part of the decentralizing of the network, which is great.
Absolutely. I mean, my dream is a node and a BitAx in every home. And when I say BitAx, I mean a small solo miner. There are other good products as well.
And a Bitcoin miner really hot cool. tub and Bitcoin miner sauna.
There you go. Golden. All right, Tony, what's your take?
You know, you guys keep saying that the odds are very low of hitting a block, which is true. But, you know, they're significantly higher than the odds of winning a traditional lottery, which is like almost impossible. solo mining is accessible to everyone. You know, like the miners themselves, their price is going down, you know, every once in a while. Now you can get a Bitax for what, under $200. And so in all fairness, this guy, the solo miner who hit a block, I believe he was running 43 terahash, which is, you know, much higher than your normal Bitax. However, most people that get into solo mining, it's like a drug addiction. You know, you start off with one unit, and then before you know it, you have like 20 staring you in the face. So collectively, you know, you can add up to almost 43, 50, 60, whatever, you know, as high you want to go terahash. Yes, it's going to cost you in energy every month, but your odds of hitting the block are also going to go up, you know, significantly. And even if your, let's say, I don't know, hypothetically, your electricity cost for all of these gadgets is like $5,000-$6,000 a year, $10,000. Let's go all out here. But you hit that block at today's Bitcoin price, that's like $330,000. So who cares about that 10K in electricity, right? So if you want to have an optimistic viewpoint about this, you can consider thinking of it that way. At least that's how I do it. Now, I don't have 50, 60 miners for sure, you know, but I can see the appeal of why people build, you know, entire bedrooms of like, and all you walk in, all these flashing lights, you know, and it's like this massive heat wave, you know, hitting you from all direction. That's why. It's because you're literally printing money, right? The actual real sound money, virgin Bitcoin, no KYC, directly into your wallet. So the incentives are extremely positive and very, very enticing.
Definitely. And they look cool and they're a great conversation starter. So you want to get people interested in Bitcoin. You tell them that you're helping secure the network, explain what a miner is.
Do you know how much energy you use compared to other household items? I actually am not aware. Like, what's
Not that much, man. Not that much. Like, I mean,
I think it's negligible. Yeah.
It's not that much. Like, I mean, I've spoken to people in Europe where usually they pay some of the highest things. And someone who has, like, I think 7 Bitaxes in his bedroom, he's paying anywhere like maybe like 100 something euros a month. Okay, like you have to be able to pay the 100 something euros just for that. Maybe a little bit more. I'd say 150. I can't remember specifically. But even at that, like he's running at around, I think, like 30 terahash now, just by himself, which isn't too far off from the guy who just hit that solo mine. He was running at 43. So you're only 13 terahash off. So, you know, like if he gets lucky one day and these stories of solo miners, you know, hitting a block are not as rare as, you know, people would have you think.
Yeah, and for context, like my Bitax, I have 2 of them, but they're about a terahash. And so 30, 40, like that's a lot more. Mine is probably like the cost of a ceiling fan running all the time or something like that. So
the big question is for everyone in solo mining, though, is if you actually hit a block, would you tell anyone?
I would keep that to a very small number of people. Because then someone knows how much, at least a ballpark of how much Bitcoin you have.
Yeah,
you know,
but like, amidst the excitement, would you realistically be able to keep your mouth shut, or are you going to be jumping all over the place?
Tony, I might tell you, and my wife would know, obviously. I think I'd keep it to myself beyond that.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Alrighty, guys, let's move forward here. We've got this article in Reason.com. The FBI took her $40,000 without explaining why. She fought back against that practice and lost. So the long story short of this is that the FBI sought to take more than $100 million in assets from U.S. private vaults, a business that offered safe deposit boxes. The warrant expressly forbade agents from engaging in criminal search or seizure of customers' boxes like this woman. So for the full context, because I know we're going to get a comment about it, the woman did get her money back, but they took tons of stuff from lots of people who were under no criminal investigation. The warrant didn't allow for that. And so the point is, not your keys, not your coins. Tony, I know you seem to think this is like a U.S. problem. I think this is like Europe's talking about taking private savings. I feel like this happens everywhere. But why don't you give your thoughts first?
This is more confirmation that the money that you think is yours is not. And that not only is it not yours, but law enforcement are the actual people that are coming to steal it from you. So where are you safe? Your money is not yours. Law is not on your side. So what are you really doing here, right? So this is like the best ad for something for Bitcoin. Nothing about this world that we know we've been born into and, you know, instructed that it works in a certain way is true. And, you know, you're going to see a lot more of these stories. This is not an isolated case. As the system continues to fail, and it is going to, you know, continue failing faster and faster, we're going to hear stories like this come out almost daily at some point. And it's going to be a horrific thing to watch and read, because these are real people with, you know, real lives that have been completely rug pulled. So my problem with all of this is that those who need to know this information are completely oblivious. Like, they're not listening to the news. They're not watching YouTube videos. They're not on X following intelligent people. They're out and about slaving for that, you know, very same garbage that doesn't belong to them and that at some point is going to be stolen from right underneath them. So, yeah. You know, interesting times we live in.
Absolutely.
The government will take everything from you at some point. It's always going to keep wanting more and more and just clawing more and more. We have that meme of the octopus of the Federal Reserve just latching onto everything. And I think more and more people are realizing that that's creeping up. And those who don't are going to get cleaned out. And it's going to be a brutal visual of natural selection in financially. Of the people who continue trusting the government are going to get hit by something. And those who are being untrustworthy and skeptical of the state as a whole are going to be making the proper move to protect themselves from it. And this is just going to accelerate.
The worst part is they don't even tell you. The worst part, they don't tell you. Like, they don't give a shit about you. Like, you don't need to know. We just took it. That's, you know, it's our right. You be quiet. Go on about your way. And, you know, end of story. Like, if she didn't fight, she may have not gotten her money back. So, like, she made a big fuss, and I don't know how that worked out, but somehow she got her funds back. But that's because, you know, it's a unique situation where she pushed back to a certain point. But even with all of this, she couldn't shut down or sue for what, you know, should be illegal. You know, you can't just go in and take somebody's funds, you know, with no justification or a valid reason. So, what law, like, what judicial system do you live under? And this is like thug-style mafia. This is what the fiat system is. And now you're starting to see it. Like, the spotlight couldn't be any brighter.
And just to clarify, too, that another gentleman who had stored some of his gold coins, the FBI lost. So up to the tune of about $100,000, over $100,000. So, you know, even if you think you're going to get your money back, they might have just accidentally lost your gold coins. So keep that in mind. Not your keys, not your coin. That's why we do Bitcoin. Alrighty, gents, let's, in the interest of time, let's hustle through these last few. So first we have billionaire investor Ray Dalio says the optimal portfolio allocation is 15% in gold or Bitcoin. Previously, I think he'd been like in that 1, 2, 3% kind of ballpark that he'd recommended. He did say, if you watch the entire video clip, he prefers gold, but that's just because he clearly doesn't fully understand and appreciate Bitcoin and what it is and where it's headed. But I think it's important to have someone who understands the financial markets. That's a lot of signal that, like, you really need a hedge. Like, 15% is not a small allocation if you're talking to, like, Wall Street, TradFi. Obviously, for us, that sounds like a very small allocation. What's the signal here, gents? Tony, what do you think?
Well, it's going to go from 1 to 100 very quickly. I mean, wasn't it just like a few months ago that he was in that 1-2 range? And now, all of a sudden, it's 15% from someone who's, like you said, still doesn't understand Bitcoin. But he understands that he has to do something. And, you know, what he's, you know, grown up with and understands clearly are not working, or at least not working as well as he wants them to. And so maybe he's taking a blind bet on Bitcoin. But so far, you know, it's been like the most rewarding move he's made. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing, you know, more allocations publicly being announced, like 15%, 30%, 50% before you know it, like run for the hills, it's 100% or lose everything.
Absolutely. Ben, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, just whenever I see these big name old school investors talking about Bitcoin, all I'm looking at is, well, in this case especially, is that they're just increasing that number that they see worth allocating to it. And they're just being really safe about it, as they always are. But I think that the masses looking at that are going to notice, okay, they, last time I said 1%, now they're saying 5%, now it's 15%, it's going up. So to the boomers that really care about what their gray-haired gods of finance tell them, and it's going to keep pushing them in the right direction. So we've got to call that a win.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about Rick Edelman doing the same thing. He's 10% in a conservative portfolio, 40% in a more aggressive portfolio, and I think it was like maybe 20 for, you know, most people. He said crypto, just to be clear, but, you know, we all know what that actually means. All righty, guys, last one. Clown world. Want to pay down the national debt? There's a Venmo for that. So the U.S. Treasury is now accepting.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Venmo payments. Since 1998, people have donated over $67 million, which is a drop in the bucket, actually, but still $67 million. People have said, you don't tax me enough, I want to help pay down the debt above and beyond. So just a bunch of sheep hopelessly optimistic about our ability to pay down the national debt without at least a soft default and massive inflation, or just catastrophic hard default and utter chaos. Ben, are you as a U.S. citizen, will you be pulling out the Venmo app and contributing?
I'm gonna pass on that one because there's no chance that they're gonna fix this, and it's just, I mean, it's so laughable that they're even at this point, but not even surprising because they're just so desperate to figure something out. And I haven't seen any takes, partly because I have a good social circle, that were like anything but just laughing at this. And I actually made a meme for everyone to enjoy here. I'm trying to get this screen share to work. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah, this is the one. So the government is not doing well, basically.
Send that to me. I'll have our editor throw it in here for you.
Perfect.
That's awesome. Tony, yeah, you don't have to. The U.S. national debt is not something that I think you'll be contributing to, and I don't think you have Venmo anyways. What would you advise in for anyone who might be considering sending a little extra something to the Treasury?
Man, look, let me put it in context for you. If the U.S. government stole every American's assets, not just your bank account, like your bank account and every bloody thing that you own from every single American, you wouldn't put a dent in the debt. So I'm not sure, you know, in what hypothetical delusion do you think, you know, sending a few dollars via Venmo to the government is going to help in any way. Now, I'm sure those folks that did donate, you know, they're, you know, good, nice, kind-hearted, you know, optimistic Americans, but, you know, very naive, you know, and uninformed, unfortunately, because there is no chance in hell this is ever going to get repaid.
Yeah. Financial natural selection. They're going to get weeded out and destroyed from it. That's all I can say.
I'll tell you what, though. Here's what I've learned, though. There are a lot of Bitcoiners. This is going to piss some people off because remember when Peter Schiff starts accepting Bitcoin to add to his treasury? Bitcoiners were sending him money. Same thing, really. If the U.S. government started accepting Bitcoiners, there are legitimately Bitcoiners who would send their Bitcoin to the federal government, is my belief.
Of course. You know, because you can't be bearish enough on the human IQ.
Well said. All righty, guys. Great chat. Ben, tell people if they want to follow you down some wild rabbit holes where they can go, and give them a send off.
Just type in my name anywhere you're listening. YouTube, got a YouTube channel, Ben Werman Podcast, Ben Werman Podcasts, all the socials. You know where to find me.
Yeah, if you type in his name into YouTube and you can't find it, it's because he has since been canceled. So check out Rumble.
Seized by the FBI.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's going to happen eventually.
All righty, guys, thank you so much for taking time today. For everyone listening, stick around for another minute, learn a little bit about the Bitcoin way. Guys, we'll catch up again soon. Cheers.
Thanks, Jones. Guys, see you next time.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing.
We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.